Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey yo, my peoples, we are back with part two of that Slam and Goldie podcast. If you haven't checked out part one yet, go do that. Go back, check it out. You definitely want to hear what Goldie has to share, and he shares a lot. On part two, we move to the Q&A section of the pod with our live audience. Goldie shares his music-making process. We both share our advice for young musicians coming up into the music business, as well as our most inspiring tracks of all time. So check it out, yo. All right, so let's do some Q&A with your kind people. Anybody, I'm going to pass the mic around. Is that the dilly? Oh, you have that mic? All right, dude. All right, man. Who wants a question to either myself or Goldie? I'm not talking about Banksy at all. I am not Banksy, by the way. I am Spartacus.
I was transported back to Beat Street there.
Beat Street in Brooklyn?
Beat Street, yeah, the film.
Oh, I thought you were at the record store in Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah. You were at Beat Street. Say again.
Yeah, I was transported back from your description there.
So Beat Street.
Yeah. Can you still do a Crazy Legs?
Yeah, uh-oh. I mean,
move
I know.
These tables,
no,
y'all. No. Let's get. I'll get him.
I could do. I actually have three fractured ribs.
No,
he
messed himself up. He decided.
Yeah, I could do. Yeah,
he thought the kids were going to catch him.
I could do. I mean, that's what the yoga is. The yoga keeps me really flexible, man. I mean, it's crazy that whole thing. But yeah, I'm pretty. I mean, my friends are.
You look good. You know, what I mean, you're clear in the eyes, clear water. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm a lot better than I ever was. I'm in the best shape I've ever been. But I don't have the bulk anymore because it's all internal core strength now, which is beautiful. But yeah, I do like that movie, man. That battle was pretty good.
Well, you know, Dr. Revolt, right? From
I interviewed Revolt. Yeah. I've got an interview I did with Revolt last year in New York for this wonderful documentary we're doing. And that was a crazy interview, man.
He did a bunch of stuff for the film Criminals Art in the beginning. People were like, well, this it looks like Dr. Revolt. I go, it is Dr.
Revolt. It is Dr. Revolt. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's amazing. He's a legend in New York. Question?
So everyone here tonight is that to answer the question, what's been your most inspirational piece of music in your life? I'm going to put you both on the spot here and ask you both the same question.
Shit, thanks, dude. It's got to be September by Earth, Wind & Fire.
Oh, wow.
And I'll tell you why. Woo! And I'll tell you why it's so fucking inspiring. It's the first LP I bought was Earth, Wind & Fire's Greatest Hits Volume 2. The one with like Dr. King Tut on it. It's like the red, yeah. And I was buying a bunch of 45s before then because I only had a certain amount of allowance, right? So I was buying like Donna Summer joints or Casablanca records. And a friend of mine said, hey, you know, you got to check this Earth, Wind & Fire shit out. And I was like, you know what? I was just learning how to play guitar. And he was like, they got good guitar. And I was like, really?
I knew
Nile Rodgers was on his shit, but I was a chic dude. But then all of a sudden they played me Gotta Get You Into My Life, which is the Beatles cover on that record. And it's this guitar stuff at the beginning. I was like, well, that's it. I can play this kind of music now and know that guitar fits into it. So it made a bunch of sense to me in my head. And what about you, G?
Oh, man. That's so tough for me. It really is. Because it's different times, but influential.
I mean, Planet Rock was probably number two because that was the one that realized that I realized that I was in that generation. You know what I mean? That this was me. This was my time. All that shit. Kind of like how y'all feel with Justin Bieber.
Well, I think. if you're talking about My Catcher in the Rye, then I'll say it about it in a second. Mm. If you're talking about influential record, it was it was Cuss on Fly, both sides, Cool G Rap and Polo.
Oh, yeah, Cool G Rap.
I was like,
rap,
walking down the street with a grill on my grill. And he was like, what's a grill? Oh, it's gold. Yeah. Another record that was that really, really made me think soulfully was the Soul Sisters.
Yeah.
That record, they were the backing singers to the JBs.
Yeah.
And that was a revolutionary record. Yo, Scissors, we're going to talk about the Okie Dokie.
Yeah, Fred Wesley, Pee-wee Ellis. Yeah,
that was a record. Let's have a meeting. Yeah. It was all about the sisters that were kind of meeting up to, you know, the brothers are getting in trouble.
It was like the Brides of Frankenstein.
Yeah, yeah. It was that. But I think for me, and I've got to say, The Catcher in the Rye, man, I mean, Pat Metheny's still live talking. It's still the greatest album I played every fucking day of my life, and I mean that. I bath in Epsom salts every fucking day, dude. And I'm like, Last Train Home, you know what, Mignano.
Dude, when we first met, I remember the first couple times you had, you kept talking to me about guitar. That it was weird because you're like, what kind of guitar do you play?
I'm into guitar.
Who do you listen to? And I remember him going, I remember talking to Fast going, Goldie's on some shit about guitar players. Like,
what the fuck does he know about guitars?
No, but I didn't know that Pat Metheny was your shit.
Pat was my shit, man. I mean, I became really good friends with Pat, and his wife was into... Yeah, well, yeah. There's a remarkable story. I mean, it's remarkable. I just started, but I'm quickly going to do this. It's like...
Can you tell a quick story?
Anyway, I'm not sure I can. I interview him after years of friendship.
Another round, y'all.
Yeah. You might as well. After years of friendship, he asked me to interview him at the Langham. And I interview him, and I say, Pat, man, if you ever find those two loops from Are You Going With Me...
I heard this story. It's amazing.
Please, I'll just remake it. And he's like, okay, Goldie, man, he's got a really light voice, man. Pat's got a really light voice. So
if
he phones,
you know what's happened then, fucking awesome.
He phones me up. He phones me up like 4 years ago and says, hey, man, I found the sound. I got it on two tracks. And he sends it to me. And I just get the Heritage Ensemble and rework the record. It's on the Journeyman album. It's called Two Veins Avec Moi. And I wanted to give it a French song because my wife being French Japanese. And, French Canadian. That's why she's like, that's not really French, is it? But she's French Canadian, Japanese Dutch. And,
You just blew that.
So I remake the record and I give it to Pat because he's playing at Ronnie Scott's.
Yeah.
And I never thought I'd ever hear him play that record. And he plays Are You Going With Me for me on the night, which blew my. I'm sitting like, I'm sitting there like, you know, Robert De Niro in the scene from The Untouchables where he's in the opera and the guy's crying his eyes out. And at the end of the show, we got backstage and I gave him the USB and said, I've done it, Pat. There it is. He goes, well, I'm going to finish the tour in 2 weeks, man. I'll get back to you. That's the most nerve-wracking 2 weeks of my life, man. And he sent me this long-ass email. I got the email first. I read it. I was kind of like, wow. And he finally says the best take on his music he's heard. And he said, look, I can't do this. It's not a cover, man. I'll split it with you 50-50.
With the publishing and all that shit. Whoa.
So I did it. It's a beautiful record. Listen to the original first and then listen to the one on the record. It's a beautiful record. And that's it.
I do want to say, though, the Journeyman record, the title Journeyman, for all of us who have been doing this a while, is a select moniker for us that have made it through and are still doing it and still hacking it and still making people happy doing what we do. So that Journeyman record, aside from the title being pretty accurate, what's going on, the record is like, it's like an onion in a lot of ways. You listen to it and you love it, then you listen to it again, you love it for something else, and you love it for something else at the third listen. Mm. Fourth. It's one of those things.
It's a beautiful piece of unfolding origami, because I was going to call it the origami. I was also going to call it the Proustian effect, because I'm into Proust. No, you know the whole Proust thing where it's layers and layers.
The only Goldie who could say that shit and get
no,
away with it.
No, but you know why? No, I'll tell you why, because, you know, it's the smell of like my brother's collar. You know, the cooking in the kitchen. You know, what does it sound like? It's crazy. So it's the smell of it. It's that thing. It's going through the heart, not the head.
The fact that you think of things on tactile, smell, oral, all that kind of stuff. Those influences come out on this record. It's a fucking great record, dude.
And I'm really.
And I ain't just saying that because you're in better shape than me. No, for real. It's a great record, and you all should actually check it out. I know somebody else has some questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
We could go side on a lot of shit. Yeah.
Yo, how man? How's it going? Just want to go back in the day, but you're talking about like the stuff you're doing now. It's some of the finest stuff you feel you've done. But going back to the drum bass era, I got into it quite badly. University kind of ruined that university thing for me. We used to love going to record shops, you know, as a thing, you know, go find a new white test press label and stuff like that. And there's one record that just escaped me. and I never got it. For my little collection, it was Terminator, Metalheads. And for me, even at that time, because I think a lot of the guys then, they didn't really get credit for the music that was coming out in the early 90s period, you know? But had, when you made that record, when that record came about, did you feel that was a game changer? Because for me, that just...
I'm going to say, it sounds really obnoxious, but I knew I was going to do that because I was fascinated with time and about someone going back from the future to go back, you know, Sarah Connors. And it was like, you're talking about things I haven't done yet. And it was it was basically Arlington Street, Echo and the Bunnymen studio.
Oh, yeah.
In Arlington Street, Camden. Yeah. And Mark Rutherford and Johnny Goslin were working at a William Orbit studio. I had a 2-EP deal. I'd come out of Reinforced. And it was a chance to work with Dan Charlemagne, Chemistry and Angel. And I thought, if I'm going to come out of Reinforced, I've got to make a massive impact. And I was fascinated with working in those studios because they had all this gnarly equipment. And on the rack, I said, I had to check out what it was. And I said to Mark, what is that? He said, it's a HF harmonizer. I went, has anyone ever put drums through that? He went, no. I went, well, let's wire it up.
Only a madman would do that.
Only a madman. So I wired it up. And if, when you listen to the record, that change, dung, 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 with Funky Drummer, is live. I just went live with it. And we recorded that three times. And it was like, we're talking about things I haven't done yet. Dung, 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 taking the pitch, but keeping the speed of the record the same. It had never been done. Because people thought it was called time stretching. No, it's a different thing. Time stretching is a 950 where you take the capacity of the stretch of the sample over its parameters, which ionizes the sample length, which makes it sound like dread.
He is not an engineer, right? By the way.
And I'm not an engineer. So knowing the parameter change of that pitch changing, the HF harmonizer does many other things too. But that particular thing is taking the increments up. It confused people. People would be going dancing and go, the fuck was that? They'd be dancing. They really didn't know how to dance because they're hearing the pitch change. And it's a bit like walking from Heathrow on the escalators ain't working again. You know, and you go, you know, you walk on that and it stops. Yeah, I knew it was going to be a game changer.
Shouldn't have taken that Xanax on the flight.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be a game changer. But the difficulty with Terminator was coming up with Angel because you got to top that. It was hard. I mean, it wouldn't top it, but it showed the different sides of my card playing or backgammon game. You know, Terminator is a very difficult record. It was genre defining. And it was on dubplate for like 18 months. It was played on, I had to keep recutting it for Groove and Fabs. And
then were you just keeping it white labeled? Because
it was a dubplate. Yeah. It wasn't even a white label yet.
Yeah, exactly.
We kept it like on a dubplate and realized when we're going to push the button and get it out. I knew it was a game changer. And it's still... It's people in time will always go, that's my favourite record, or that's my favourite record. And Andy C will always say to you, Menace. It's Andy's one of his favourite records. It's probably his favourite record. And if people go Timeless or State of Mind or whatever, I think the artist really knows, you know, when he does his best work. And that doesn't necessarily mean he's just going to make a whole bunch of love songs. I mean, the illusion with that record, with Journeyman, do the math. There's 9 drum and bass records and 7 musical experiments. It gives you the illusion, though, that it's something else that it's not. That's just called sleight of hand magic. That's called alchemy. Timeless did less than that. It was, you know what I mean? And it's just 12 tracks. But the impact, because it was genre defined, it was different.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Have you not got their record? I'll find you one. I've got people who've got loads of copies of that. Yeah. I probably got copies myself somewhere of that.
It is weird being in a studio though, and I have people ask me stuff like, "What were you doing when you tracked that song or when you mixed that song or something?" And it is kind of weird. Half the time you're like, well, "I don't know what the fuck I was doing," but on certain rare moments of clarity for me, you do remember like, oh, well, you know, at the end of the day, you walked out of the studio going, I got that idea down without too much fucking interference. And that's
the interference. Yeah. We call it the dead zone. You know, sometimes, you know, I remember taking breaks at William Orbit's theater thinking, oh, what the fuck, I got to think of this thing. How am I going to change this record into the next phase? And the engineers, they weren't into electronic music. They were just engineers in Pete Gabriel's studio. These guys program breaks. They weren't like now where I've trained the Metalheads guys. They were doing their own stuff, and they came up through the label, and they're engineering and producing their own stuff. It was like a kid now with a laptop. It wasn't like that then. Trying to get uptown engineers to engineer
dudes who went to college music for like 4 years.
It's a fucking art form.
What? No, Goldie, we don't do it like that around here.
You know, he wouldn't do it
in their lab coats and shit, like Abbey Road. Like no,
I would literally have to be. And they go, what? And I go, and we're, oh, that's the loop. Right, give me that. Now give me some hi-hats on that. So I'd have to sing everything. I think my art is expressing exactly, you just got to draw. I draw the shit out. That's, what are you doing today? This is what we're doing. There's a drawing. I'm going to start the timeline at zero, and we're ending here, and these are the colors I'm using.
Because if you blow on the rock, the sculpture will appear. Yeah,
it comes out. But it's also the fact that I would hustle. I'd go and sell weed, and I've got to pay for 3 days in this fucking studio, $1,500.
I didn't buy weed from him when he was selling.
I've got to make sure that every minute counts. So I would be very disciplined being in the studio. I would have to be very disciplined because they don't care.
We talked about this. I remember you were talking about studio time. You're like, fuck studio time, man. I get my shit done. I go in there. I tell them to press the red button and I get it done. Yeah.
I have to do it. I can't go in a studio and go, what are we going to do then?
Yeah. We did our first record in 5 days because we thought EMI was going to change their mind. We were in there with an engineer. We were like, today is fucking sample day. Tomorrow is drum day. Third day is guitar day. Then it is fucking, you know, vocal day. And then it is the Cuervo brothers, who are the percussion guys. We just get fucked up and just go.
You sprinkle it. You know, we do. I mean, we do that. And I mean, the other thing is, you understand, listen to me. We finished Terminator at 5 a.m. in Iron Street. And we did the final pass, eat off our nut. The engineer couldn't see the screen. Mark Rutherford was like, tell me where the mouse is going. Does he say 1.4? I'm like, yeah. He goes, okay. And he pressed the button. He couldn't see. It was rolling. But we'd finished the record. We'd finished those four tracks. We were just polishing. And it sounds great on ease.
But the thing is, yeah.
Believe me, Terminator. I knew what Terminator would do to people. Because I was always a punter. I was always on the dance floor. People forget, I'm not a DJ. I get paid to go and play records and arrange them. But I'm not a... Doc Scott's a DJ. Marcus Intellect's a DJ. They're DJs. I've never really been a DJ. I've been an arranger. That's the gift.
I've always... See, I've always found that the guys who won't give you a clear idea what their job title is are the ones that are most creative, dude. You know, you can say, like, you know, like, I'm a DJ, man, but are you... When everybody actually defines what they do, you're a creative person, man.
I'm just a creative. I kind of realize that.
Yo, I have to ask you this, though, man. When you leave the studio and everybody's nutted off, and you do you always ask for a mixdown of what happened that day?
See,
that's my shit, too.
We'd have to get that shit.
There would be another hour of me in a car somewhere driving around.
Oh, yeah. We'd listen. I would be going back and forth. You know, I mean, I just destroyed Jessie Ware this week, man. I don't do remixes, but I heard this track and she reached out and she loved Adore You. And I'm like, I'm going to fuck that up so badly because it sounded really good. you know, and I'm going to Bournemouth tomorrow, and I'm going to smash that to bits tomorrow, because, you know, I like being able to flip people over. You know, the Skepta joint, which is coming out, I did the Skepta thing like 4 months ago, and I met him in an airport, and he's like, yeah, man, your uncle, man, you still doing beats? And I'm like, listen, I ain't doing
grime. Your uncle.
I ain't doing this shit unless it's right. And I was in touch. I was finished. We finished Journey, man. You know, this is, yeah, April, May last year. We'd done that. And then it was October. Yes, October. James Davison, the engineer for Journey, man, who's an eccentric and probably the best engineer I've ever worked with. All Star Trek episodes, he'll make the engine work better than all that shit. This guy's the best. And we started with Prism. I'm like, this is an exercise. We're going to start in 3-3, 3-4, switch back to 4-4, switch back to 3-4 in the drop. You got that? He went, yes, I'm ready. He was like the dog from Up. Yeah, we're now. And I throw the ball. He's like, I got the ball back. I'm like, I just threw the fucking thing. He's like, ready.
Yeah.
And it was October.
He was on board.
He was on board. Yeah. And he's already an artist in his own right with the underground, you know, Ulterior Motive on the label with Greg. And I knew he was the guy for the job. Before he even knew he was going to come to Thailand, I already booked his fucking ticket. So you're doing the album. And he's like, I'm not ready. House. I'm not you're ready. There. And so the thing was that I sent a track to, I said to James, let's roll this track out. I want Beck meets Wu-Tang. So I want to get this mad shit going on. And I love Odelay, that break on New Pollution. It's a great break. And I'm like, I got best to replay that shit 3 years earlier. And I laid that shit down. I sent it to Skepta. And I send him me recording the lyrics. There's no one in but the lights around. Who's going to fix this? So I sent him like a punk rendition. Yeah. I said, add what the fuck you want. He added Macaulay Culkin Home Alone, Can't Find My Spaceship, which is brilliant. Macaulay Culkin Home Alone, Can't Find My Spaceship. And I'm like, because you know where? Now he's going to get this. Yeah. The record's called Upstart. Because I'm an upstart. Because I'm a punk. And Skeps goes to me, what's Upstart, uncle? I went, Upstart kind of means you look a punk. Yeah. Oh, I like that then. Okay, cool. So the record's coming out in a couple of months, and it's for me, it's a standalone fucking record. Yeah. When you hear that record, you'll be like, what the fuck is that? I played it last year at Glastonbury at Arcadia. People are like, what the fuck is that tune? You know, so it's a great tune. But I like manipulating people. I'm all about that. I'm going to get musicians, I'm going to get the best out of you. I'm going to get the best sound out of you. Shit that you've never played, I'm going to get out of you. And that's what I like doing.
See, that's a great creative music producer right there. Let's do one more question. Oh, yes, let's do one more question, y'all. Who has got a good one? I don't want a shitty question. Is that question good?
And this gentleman, too, as well. He's been.
Yeah, he's been actually.
He's really... my timeless fan right there.
All right, right up.
Hi there. My son is 13 and is a phenomenal guitarist already. He wants to break into the music industry. What would your advice be to your 13-year-old self?
Send me a bloody demo. I think really, well, you as a guitar, you know, is this whole thing. I mean,
do my guitar shit again, although I'm actually pretty badass at what I do, I would do what I'm trying to do with my son and tell him to keep the guitar going but play drums. Because if you...
keys and bass.
All right, so the thing about drums is, and you know this, it's meter, it's timing.
Yeah.
My favorite musician in the world is this guy called Peter Levin, right? He plays with the Blind Boys Alabama. He played with Greg Allman. He's a keyboard player, played with me a bunch. He's the best musician because he has great timing. He knows when a hold up, all that stuff. I think it's important for people to know rhythm, especially they call it meter when they go out there like that. Right. But it's just you gotta get your timing right. So I'd say that would be a good thing to start.
What I'd say to him is,
or like sequence, like, you know, make beats.
Yeah, for me, Ableton. You know, as a young, I mean, I've only made a couple of tunes on Ableton, but in terms of his elastic properties, in terms of getting ideas down very quickly, and if he's adept, which I'm sure he is, because most 15-year-olds, you know, 15, we're pretty 13. Adept. 13-year-olds are pretty sharp. Ableton, he might go, yeah, I've already got that, Mum. You know, he might already be there. I don't know. Yeah.
He's already there musically, but mentally and taking him into the music industry. And
only women can do that and bring him to that next level.
Yeah. I really believe that, you know, it'd be interesting to hear what he's doing. But I think to be able to... I remember when Ed Sheeran, I gave him an award.
Did you just...
You know what I mean? I know, but I'm just saying. I'll give you an example.
Oh, yeah,
I've seen these kids come up. But I'm thinking, what the fuck? If it can happen to Ed, it can happen to anybody, right? Do you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So if this guy's a guitarist, then it's for him to be able to put together, you know, a set of work that will make that guitar sound like different attributes. Do you know what I mean? So it's worth getting to the right ears, really.
And what is your advice to a mum bringing somebody up in that industry, knowing the pitfalls and
oh god,
and the noise cancelling headphones
headphones, yeah. For one, you know, I don't know.
Did you ever do your shit for money? You didn't, did you?
It wasn't for money. He's got to get his mind right. It's like if he says
passion for him.
If he said okay, if it's a passion for him, right? If he said, what do you want to do out of this? Well, I just want to get out there and people to hear his music. That's a different thing. When people say I want to make money, I'm like, I don't even speak to you again. I don't want to speak to people like that.
Yeah.
If it's a passion, I'm really interested now because you're saying all these different things. And of course, that's the mom's strength too, because your mom's going to look after your little one, right? It's your baby. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you've got to make sure he has the discipline too, because 13, when them balls drop, man, them guys start, they start fucking, that shit starts, the guitar's over here and that shit's like, starts walking. Seriously, you know, it's all right now when he's got that, you know, his vocals are good and he's great, but then, yo, mom, I'm kind of tired. I want to go out.
Yo, ma.
Just be strong with him and be honest about it, you know?
Thank you. Hi. Yeah, this fits in with some of what you've already been talking about, and it's something I've always been interested in. How close is the sound on the album to the sound in your head?
I've been asked that 3 times this week, and it's bang on the money. It's 99% now. It used to travel at 70%. It's 99%.
If you watch like a movie and they got the special effects and shit, and you look at like Star Wars, A New Hope, and you're like, and then you look at the new shit like Guardians of the Galaxy, you're like, oh my god.
Yeah, it's Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. It's right on the money, because I don't start them at the beginning either. I've realized that with the Alchemy, I start the tracks in the middle. It's called the concertina. I start in the middle and expand to the beginning and expand to the end. I start in the middle. It's circular. It's not linear. It's a circular movement of...
Is that what you were talking about with yoga, where you get that one moment that it's all worth it and then the other stuff on either side
It's that. I'm working backwards, what got me there. Mm-hmm. And drawing the idea out, it's 99%. The only thing that's missing on that album was maybe Sade doing Ballad Celeste. You know what I mean? That, because I spoke to Ian, her husband.
Sure, she was at my house.
She was going. I never got it in my house. I'm glad, you know. But she went to Blue Note. Damn, I missed that chick. So I missed that aspect. So, but the songwriting, the execution, for me, the thing is about the deluxe. What have you got? What format have you got the album, by the way? What format do you have it in?
MP3.
Now you see, I haven't found it yet. Then.
Yeah.
What do I mean by that? So you know, that's the thing. I'm a hardware kind of guy. And you'll only find the depths of the music in the hardware. I'm only going to say that.
Well, I mean, as a producer, and I did this when we first did our first record, it was on EMI. So they give you all these, if you're the producer, they give you all that. All right, so it's going to, what's the digital release going to sequence like? What's the, you know,
the vinyl's all 16 tracks.
Yeah.
Cut by a guy called Lewis, who's just a genius. And he sounds very, very loud. D&B loud for us.
Yeah.
I think the remake on Barry was the best thing I've ever done in terms of the ballad. I think Ballad Celeste is, you know, about me suffering with addiction for so long and just having to just lie on my wife's chest and just go, what is that? You know, it's the headless horse shit, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was going to write all the lyrics out for people. I thought, you know what, let him explore it. You know, but there's so much sewn into that, that if you listen to Run, 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 for me it's David Lean, and you get to the end of it, and you get Run, 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 which is theatre. It's so naked, that piece. Very naked. And Tyler, it took me and John Dixon. John Dixon had a 48-minute piano improv that I whittled down to 5.5 minutes. And it took me 3 months to write. And I said to Tyler, he says, Katie said, go up that hill. Top line. Back BV. Katie said, go up that hill. Katie said. Top line. And he's like, what's Katie mean? I'm like, it's not Katie, it's Katie. And Katie's the only woman that run up a hill. Because that's how intrinsic. I built a house on a hill. And Kate Bush got me up that hill. You know, I heard Running Up That Hill was a big tune for me. And that's what it is. It's Kate Bush. It's a homage to Kate. So all of the tunes have a duality, but it's a homage to Kate Bush.
Hey, did I mention before that all the greats never take credit for anything?
No. So, you know, that's what it is. You know, and I love the fact that, you know, I just I listened to the record. I couldn't listen to Mother for a long, long time, years. I couldn't listen to Sands Return. I felt broken. This record I listened to like I never made it because I didn't make it. It's not mine. It's ours. It's what I painted that fucking album. I have tools now. I'm creating my own type of sleeping tablet or, you know, my own E. You know what I mean? It's that kind of thing. It's that kind of deal for me. It really is. And, you know, my daughter will listen to that when I'm gone. That's all that matters to me. It's what it is for my family.
That's brilliant, man. Guys, thank you much for hanging out with me and Goldie tonight.
That was long.
It was long. Actually, for you, it wasn't that long, dude.
Yeah, yeah. It's like squeeze time thing. Yeah, you know what I mean? See what I did there?
Yeah,
like,
we didn't time stretch it. You know what I'm saying? We did something else. But yeah, man, thank you very much. And thank you all for coming through,
thank
man.
Thank you so
and,
much. And love it, love it.
Thank you for having that record, dude. Thank you for putting that record out. That shit
thank
is real,
you.
Man.
Thank you.
And don't forget to go see Goldie on this tour, man. It's going to be pretty insightful, man.
It is an unbelievable grace. These musicians were shunned by the music world in the classical world, but they just like learned to play 10 instruments each.
And now he's got them all eat up, man. It's
you know, I've got them all buzzing, man. I mean, Matt Calvert, John Calvert, Adam Betts, John Blees, yeah. Hugh Wilkinson. These guys are ruthless, man. And Vanessa Hayes, Natalie Duncan, Terry Walker, Tyler Lee Daly. It's going to be a great show.
All right, let's do
so come
after
November.
Party.
Peace.
Peace.
Let's do that.
Thank you, dude. That shit's awesome. Now, I told you it was dope, and I don't like tooting my own horn, but having a guy like Goldie to speak to, you always get a great conversation. So get yourself on my mailing list over at HueyMorgan.com to be sure you're the first to know next time we do a live pod, and you could be there. Next up on the pod, we've got the badass author of You're a Badass, Jen Sincero. Now, she sold over 1 million copies of her book, You're a Badass, and writes self-help books for people who don't like self-help books. It's kind of odd, but she's amazing. She's also done some pretty other wild stuff in her time. Do your research, go on the Google before the episode drops next week, and don't forget, leave us some love on the iTunes and subscribe yourself. Until next time, my friends, stay classy.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.